Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Epiphany season, if you are enjoying this holy time of the year, really has the emphasis of showing the manifestation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And this Savior has also shined into our hearts. And we are like Nathaniel, of whom Jesus said, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile, and when it dawned on him, and the light, the epiphany light dawned in his heart, then he said, Thou Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And as that epiphany light more and more dawns in our lives as we go spiritually, go through another church year, we too must realize how we have a part in singing the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That is the task of all believers in the world, to show forth those praises. That is our missionary task. But it is a special responsibility of those who are ordained to teach the word. And in this day and age, as in all ages before us also, the important thing is that we teach the word, proclaim the gospel, present Christ as He is presented in the sacred scriptures. And therefore, whether we are chaplains in the military, whether we are Catholic pastors, whether we are poets, ministers, all of these things, we are all part of that one ministry. And the chief thing to keep in mind always is our task to proclaim that word faithfully, and that is brought out in our text in Jeremiah. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. He that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. That is the task to the heat, says the Lord. He that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. That, of course, is the mission even of all the extensions of our ministry, of our church, wherever it may be, in foreign missions or in our great global mission out there, that is called to the lap of the military chaplains around the world, dealing with our own people and also having opportunities to praise God among foreigners and other people who may be serving. Now, this is a great ministry, and we should thank God, first of all, that we have this ministry under the stars and stripes. I'm aware that our brothers in the Wisconsin Synod feel that it's not a good idea to be serving under the auspices of the government, in other words, to have our clergy turned over to them for pay and for jurisdiction. And there is, of course, theoretically a problem here. We must recognize that. But as time went on, the chaplaincy was unfolded and developed in such a way that there is really very great freedom for the chaplain. There is very little interference in his mission. In all the time that I was in, and I'm sure other chaplains can say that also, I've had no commander that in any way tried to impose his wishes on me in terms of my ministry. There are, of course, military requirements and duties that the person should gladly perform if he has undertaken his task. And in terms of that ministry, there is, as I repeat, a great freedom. And the chaplaincy, as we have it today, developed largely before World War II and during World War II. And here we have some of our own people who were great men, great Christians who were also thoughtful that the regulations and the directives and manuals were written in such a way that everyone did have an opportunity to have the services of his own soul freely worship in that way. All of those whom we might pay tribute today is Chaplain Father Arnold, later Bishop Arnold, who was the chief of chaplains at the beginning of World War II of the Army and the Air Force, including the Army Air Corps in those days. He always showed an interest in this, that chaplains should not be burdened or sidetracked with other duties, given them by the commander, that their primary function was to serve as pastors, as ministers, as priests of their own church, and to serve the people according to their conscience. And then we must not also that from our own church, we had people who were very instrumental in writing up the manuals and the requirements so that these things were clarified. I'm thinking there, especially of Dr. Arthur Kyle Peacetown, who very loyally, wherever he was, always conducted a Lutheran communion service, even when he had executive positions, and who carefully wrote the manuals in such a way that he had these prerogatives and these freedoms. And also, in all of these aspects, especially in the Air Force, Dr. Solomon, who also served in the Pentagon for many years, many months, wrote and described a lot of these things, guided and advised in them. So it would not have been developed in this way without the help of together with many other leaders of our church and other churches. There is also Chaplain Storrisley, who was the chaplain, Air Force chaplain for a while in the Norwegian church. He was also constantly aware of these things, guiding these our students. And then we must remember that the chaplain serves in a kind of pluralistic study. Now, this also has its advantages. He rubs shoulders with those of other faiths and with clergymen of other faiths, and there are some that you, of course, are quite a distance away from theologically, and then there are others with whom you are very close. And there are those with whom you become very friendly, and they become very dear friends, especially among the Catholic clergy and in speaking to other denominations also. This is one of the great blessings that came, I think, out of World War II. Not an openness where we drop all the lines and say we're just going to compromise everything, because of all those things like the Catholic Church, which is a social confession of truth, and it's good. Our situation, as you understand, dear. But they hold to their gospel and they proclaim it, and they also show a great friendliness in that way toward as Lutherans. But there are also the temptations to depart from the world, just like there is in any ministry, to go and train to gymnasium, or to perform those kind of duties that, of course, will not be a stumbling block, that will not cause any kind of stumbling or anything like that. So nowadays, the great danger there, of course, is the liberation theology. And here we simply have to say, what has the heat to do with the job? We come to our task and we say what God has told us to do is to speak the word faithfully. We don't go out and think in terms of doing the gospel. The gospel does itself. Our task is to speak the word, to preach it, to proclaim it, to be there, to proclaim the word faithfully, and of course, naturally, to adorn the gospel with a godly life. That's naturally there is with it, but our task as teachers, as prophets, is to interpret and proclaim this word, whether they were here, like the Ethiopians, or whether they were still there, and that brings, of course, its own problems, that brings its own thought at times. However, that is our duty, our responsibility, and also our privilege. And in this past we are carried into various environments. We go where we are told, or we just go where the Spirit leads us. This chaplain spirit, who is came from the Norwegian church, they used to call him because when chaplains went in and said, "Here, I want to get out of this assignment because I don't like the cold weather. We're up in northern Alaska. My family is in Wichita. I'd like to be in that area." And he'd always say, "Go where your assignment says it's the will of God." So they always called him the will of God spirit. And we're led in those ways to wherever the Spirit brings us, and just being there, and then bearing witness faithfully to His word, and adorning the gospel with the godly life, helping the needy and so forth. That is our task. And as we look forward to the 80s, what is the challenge there? During Vietnam, so many people belittled the military, and this was a shame, and they tore down many of our institutions like the FBI, the CIA. Everything was criticized, and everything we did was wrong. And even the media signed doing and so forth, and what we were doing all over the place was wrong. And so those students who went to often to college just to get out of the draft or went over to Sweden, they became the heroes in the 60s, and this is really bad. The old need and the patriotism and the understanding of the signs of the time should really finally wake us up. I don't know why it always takes so long for many of the intelligentsia to be aroused to the fact that the communists are a menace, that they are a monstrous power, that they have built up their military strength, as all military people will testify, more seriously since the Cuban Missile Crisis than the Germans built in the 30s before World War II. And certainly we cannot test their motives. They have plainly stated what their motives and what their aims and strategies are. And so we have to learn to, as prophets and as ministers, to use the signs of the time. That means we have to see where we are. And as Reinhold Niebuhr says, it's strange with the human nature that contrary to all the evidence to the contrary, we will have this optimistic concept of the growth and the evolution and development of morality among men. And all we have to do is look around us and see. And not only has much of the moral stayed in our nation, and the worst part of it is that there has always been immorality, but as Jeremiah says, the people would have it so. They agreed to it. They want it that way. And when someone talks against some of the immorality that's going on, then of course he is questioned as someone who's intolerant and so forth. But more than that, in the terms of these international matters, we have to realize the satanic power that we are confronted with. That is ever since World War II. When Stalin had a strategy, Roosevelt and Churchill's strategy was mainly to kill Germans, and Stalin's strategy was to take over Europe, and it's possible the communist powers like to take over the world. The sooner we recognize and realize that, the sooner we will be prepared for these things. And we must do that before it is too late. See the sign of the time. Lead those things of self-permission and others right. And not go along with those who, like Bertrand Russell, say, "Well, that's the way of the future, and it's better read than done." That he thinks of what self-permission says in one of his speeches, better to be dead than to be a scoundrel. We have to stand for something. And that means simply this, that in the 80s, I believe, our country will receive more information about where we stand, and the rest will rise up, and there will be some greatness, and there will be a need for military strengthening. Highly sophisticated military weapons delivery systems and the like. I mean, this situation, there will be a need for more staffing. And this is something you ought to then give some thought to. If you and your wife agree that that would be a profession, think of it as a good profession. It has great opportunities. There's much freedom there to do your thing, and that is to proclaim this word. And furthermore, there is missionary opportunity, as we think of in this particular season, all kinds of opportunities to testify to this Christ and to come back then to our theme. That is our mission. With all the studying that we do of different theories about the Bible and learning of different biblical approaches and so forth to the scriptures, we can get us involved where we miss the message sometimes. Stay with the Word. He that has the Word, the Holy Spirit, enlightens us to that. Preach God's Word faithfully. The Germans, of course, had all of their high degree of specialization. Their intelligentsia, of course, made a great impact on the world. But I recall right after the war, there was a retreat we had at Scotland, and the speaker was a bishop asked me to. And with all of the things collapsed, and everything poverty around all over the place, where was the church? What do we say to people? He said, we present Christ. That's all. We present Christ. So like St. Paul said, I become determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. We have that gospel. We have that revealed word. We understand and we know it. It has enlightened our hearts, and that should motivate and move us also then to do it wherever we are, whatever our mission is. Having that word, teach that word.